What's up, guys? Let's be honest. This summer vacation is kind of boring. We haven't got to travel anywhere this whole time because Ginger has to go to school. The only time we get to travel is in late August. We're going to Singapore, and by the time we get back to Taiwan, school's gonna start in 4 days. It's still not a family trip, though, because Grandma has cancer and Dad's afraid to leave the country. Mom told us it's going to be a lot more inconvenient without Dad, because we're not familiar with the country and we can't do anything too complicated, which is kind of a bummer. Good news is that we can go anywhere next summer vacation, because Ginger just finished taking the big test and can finally rest. I'll bet she's really looking forward to it. False Death by Emily John. Chapter 3. People say that my friends are a bad influence on me. Ever since I started to hang out with them, my crime rate has been going up. They've encouraged me to drive without a license, running over people and bailing, lying to the victim's father, and stuffing my pants into a public trash can. Who knows what's next? I remember at Rihanna's funeral, where Josh Paul gave a speech. It must be hard for him, with his daughter and his wife, Joanne Paul, both dead. I felt extremely bad for him when Jace burst into tears of laughter and yelled at the crowd, "LL, his life is so sad." Back at the bar, the waiters were nowhere to be seen. It was very late, so most people had already gone home. Josh Paul, on the other hand, had disappeared without a trace. Trevor paced back and forth around Jace's lifeless body, and Enzo broke into tears while Gail stared blankly into Jace's bulging eyes. Only I was focusing on the important stuff. Josh killed someone, then fled. He just gave a speech about how you should never deny we did something wrong or avoid problems when you commit a terrible crime. Then he did an excellent job doing so. Of course, I wasn't sure he was really the one who did it, but it couldn't be more obvious, since they were having such a heated argument before. Alvin called the police and they arrived shortly afterwards. As Alvin was driving us home, nobody made a sound. There were no cars on the road, so we got back in no time flat. "All right, kids," Alvin said with a cough as he parked the car. He unlocked the door and motioned for us to get out. I followed them out the car and I slammed the vehicle door. It was the worst day ever, I said to myself as Gail unlocked his house door. It was different from last time when we ran over Ariana. We have a suspect, but that was not enough. But I guess I should let it go and leave it to the police. If I overstep, I could really mess things up. The next day, when I woke up, I was in an extra bad mood. The four of us were eating breakfast quietly when the doorbell rang. "Go get it, Ben," Enzo said with a mouthful of sandwich. I shook my head. "Every time I do the tiring stuff and all you guys gotta do is lie around like a bunch of pigs," I said. "Come on, we're all busy," he insisted. "And you're closer to the door." I sat and took one long sip of my coffee. I dragged my feet to the door and opened it. When I saw Josh Paul standing on the front porch, my eyes opened wide and I sprayed a mouthful of coffee all over his face. "What?" I asked impatiently, wiping my mouth. I handed him a towel. I just thought I'd drop by and give you guys a quick update. The police said Jace was poisoned by his drink, but they're not sure who did it because there were no fingerprints on his cup, and there's a blind spot in the bar. The security camera was broken. "Okay, great, now get out," I ordered and slammed the door in his face. I walked back to the table and sat down. "Whoa, dude, what was that?" Trevor asked. "Why are you so mad?" I stared at him coldly. "That's not funny," I said to him. "Quit acting dumb. We all know what he did. He's just giving us an update to throw us off the track." Stop acting like a baby. You don't have any proof. Why are you accusing him? Gil asked. I scoffed. Are you guys seriously all on his side? It couldn't be anyone else, and you're just looking past all the obvious clues. Don't deny it. You know I'm right. Trevor finished the last bite of his toast. You need to calm down, he said. How about we all go for a walk? I laughed out loud. A walk? What are we, animals? Who goes for walks these days? Trevor gave me a dirty look. At least think things through before you make a suggestion, all right, I muttered to myself. Let's do something more exciting, suggested Enzo. Today's Monday. The downtown swimming pool is open. Isn't open. Let's sneak in. I snapped my fingers. That's the one, I exclaimed. This way those annoying lifeguards won't be there to tell us what to and what not to do. Yeah, and we'll have the whole swimming pool to ourselves, and we won't have to wait in line to take a shower. Whoa, hold up, Gil said sternly. That sounds dangerous. What if you really drown? Who's gonna rescue you? Drown in a swimming pool? I snorted. We're not idiots, all right. Yeah, we're not idiots, Gil, Enzo repeated mockingly. Anyway, let's get going. Wait now, Gil asked, but I'm supposed to have a French lesson with Felicia. Who cares about your awkward friend, Trevor said. Ditch class or make up a fake excuse, because only nerds wait patiently for time to pass. Felicia is not awkward and I'm not a nerd, Gil said. Great, then let's go. Enzo said we should walk there because he didn't want to waste money on transportation. So we got everything we needed and started heading to the downtown swimming pool. It was very far away, and we spent like 40 minutes walking to get there. The building was dark and the entrance was locked. How do we get in? I asked. Anyone knows how to pick locks? Gail scoffed. Why bother picking a lock when you can just climb in through that window? I'll bet some dumb janitor left it open. Okay, great, so let's go in, I said, walking towards the opened window. It was high off the ground, so I ordered Trevor to get on the floor and I stepped on his back. We walked to the swimming pool and the lights turned on. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, Gail laughed. We changed and dove into the water. It was a fun couple of hours because no one was there to disturb us. The lifeguards weren't blowing their annoying whistles and shouting at us. I'm getting hungry, Trevor complained. Let's get out of the water and go eat lunch. I agreed with him and we walked to the shower room. Ah, shoot, Enzo said, slapping himself. I forgot a towel. That's fine, I said. I'll just pass it to you after I'm done using it. You just have to use the bathroom stall next to mine. I changed back into my normal clothes and grabbed my towel. I'm throwing this over the side of the wall to your stall, I said to Enzo. Yeah, leave it there, he shouted over the pouring water. I did as he said, and the rest of us decided to check out the lost and found area to see what we can find. After 10 minutes of digging, we found one Apple Watch. I walked back to the shower room to check about Enzo. Dude, what's taking so long? It's been like half an hour. Get out already or we'll eat lunch without you, I said impatiently. No reply. Sit yourself, I sighed. I turned and walked back to my friends. Enzo wants us to get going, I said. He's having fun in the shower. Okay, great, Trevor said. I'm starving. We'll come back for him later. About an hour, we sneaked back into the swimming pool. Enzo's probably done, right? Gail asked. We walked to the shower room entrance. The ground was all wet, so we didn't bother going in. Enzo, you done? He called out. No answer. All that we could hear was the sound of liquid dripping on the ground. I bet he went home already. You can't possibly take a shower that long. We shrugged and headed back. We took the bus and got home. Surprisingly, Enzo was not at Gail's house.